setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation. A conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do that, and how you can get there. It is about your purpose. We're talking purpose on talk radio. That's right. Not politics. By the way, you don't need to look to DC for answers anyway. You've got the answers. You really do. You've got the answers that will allow you to answer that age-old question that every human being asks, what should I do with my life? And I promise that if you listen long enough or decide to call in, that we can get you that clarity that you need. 844-747-2577. You were created to work. You were created to contribute. You were needed. You must do it. Somebody needs you to be the best version of you in the workplace. That's how you reclaim your Monday mornings. Life is too short to work in a dead-end job. Let's go. To Austin, Texas, where Christina joins us. Christina, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. I'm happy to talk to you. What's going on?
Sure. So I got laid off 6 months ago, and I'm looking for my next position.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm lacking direction. My last role was in user experience design, so designing software, and it really left me stressed. I also don't think it's the best fit for my talents or passion. However, I'm getting the most response from recruiters for UX design roles.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I feel stuck because my ultimate dream is to do art as a full-time job, but art doesn't pay the bills right now. So my question is, should I continue to apply to these high-paying roles in product design where I'm getting some good feedback and interviews, or should I find a lower stress, lower paying job and do art on the side, or just kind of go full tilt and pursue my dream of art 100% right now?
All right. I love the three options. Yeah, that's a big one. Let's sift through this quickly. First question I have is, when you were in UX design before, the previous job that you were laid off from, and you were really stressed, was it the work itself, or was it the leader or the coworkers or the overall culture that caused the stress?
I think, to be honest, it was definitely the leadership on my team. My team specifically was just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so that's important. And let me ask it this way. If you have healthy leadership and they're not really causing any kind of trouble or stress or anything, and you're just left alone to do that artistic thing that you already love to do, that you ultimately would love to do, is just make art. But UX design is a form of art. If you were left alone in the sense of not a bad culture, not bad leadership, not poor coworkers, would you be that stressed?
I don't think I would have been as stressed, no.
Yeah, so I think that lends me to, all right, leads me to, could you pursue art full time right now, even though it's not paying the bills? I think I know the answer, but let me ask.
So the answer is kind of a yes. It's complicated, but maybe not complicated. I don't have debt right now, and I do have a healthy emergency savings fund, I think of like 8 to 10 months.
Okay.
Obviously, it's not long term, so I think I would have to get a job at some point.
Yeah. So the answer is the answer is not kind of yes. The answer is no. Here's why.
Okay.
Because I don't want you to touch the 8 to 10 months emergency fund. That's incredible safety net for you, but that's for emergencies only, not the let's fund the dream fund. It's an emergency fund, and so you would have to eventually work anyway. So that answers that question. So option three is not an option yet. So
Okay. Then
option two is get a less stressful non-UX job, UX design job and do the art on the side as a side hustle. And yes. I tend to not want to do that option or not recommend that option for you for this reason. You can make more money.
Okay.
You can make more money in the UX design job. You know you're gifted at it. And I would suggest to you that you could find a place because you know what to look for. So these recruiters are coming to you and you go, look, here's why I didn't enjoy it the last time. Poor leadership, poor manager. I need to know what the culture is. You got to do your homework. You know, you personally and the recruiter. And when you get to the interview process, ask them leadership questions and culture questions. See how they respond. Try to talk to people who know somebody who works there. You know, whatever you need to do. But you know what to look for. And because you know what to look for, I think you'll make a better choice this time, which means you're going to enjoy it more and you're going to make more money, which means the more money you make, the fact that you don't have debt and you got the big emergency fund, guess what happens? Now we create a almost like another fund. And could you put 12 months expenses in the bank for the, I'm going to go try being an artist full time for a year, knowing you can always move back into UX design. You've got this awesome safety net. And by the way, when you get back into UX design, you're making that money and you're stocking it away. You are designing some art or creating some art and starting to sell it on the side so that you are not just making progress financially to fund the dream, you're actually practicing the dream with zero pressure.
Yeah.
So that's,
that makes sense.
That's the option I want you to go with my little add-on. So get back into UX design, but in a better culture where you enjoy going in and doing the work. Start making art and start selling art soon. Don't store it in the garage. Don't put it in the attic. Show your work and ask for money for it because there's no pressure. That's when you really learn. But you're not, your livelihood isn't. I think you're going to be a better artist when you're when there's no pressure.
Okay. I have a question regarding the UX design pursuing.
Okay.
So like, in my past role, I'm not very proud of the work that I did. It was like, just like from a portfolio standpoint, when I interview, it's just not my favorite. Should I just create a new project that I'm more proud of?
Yes, love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm just wondering, is that, would that be weird? Like, oh, this person worked in product design, but isn't going to share her work from this role.
No, I don't think it's weird. I think you can still show what you've done, but I think you show there's more passion in this particular project. So if I asked you to do UX design on one thing that you really cared personally about or you loved, it's just going to be more enjoyable for you and you're going to do better work. But you're kind of dealing with what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would find maybe there's a nonprofit or a mission that you are really closely aligned with. Go do some work for them for free just so you can add some new stuff to your portfolio.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be ashamed, though. You mean, I understand what you mean. You're not proud of it. But that's a function of the type of stuff you were given to do, the product and the or the resource or whatever, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't be ashamed of what you've done, but yeah, it doesn't hurt to add some new stuff to your portfolio and just do it for free. Give it away to somebody. That's awesome. Blow their mind, and then you get to do something you're excited about. All right, folks, don't move. More of your calls. More clarity right around the corner. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the three modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. Oh yeah, we're rocking here at the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you live from our Ramsey Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, America. Yes, Indeed. And helping people from all around the world. It's so fun as we get calls every day from around the globe, whether you're listening on your talk radio station, Sirius XM, or the podcast of the show. Thank you for joining us. We are seeing more and more people take hold of their purpose in their work and get out of the dead-end job and start moving towards the dream job. One of the ways you can do that is truly come up with the, I think it's the game changer difference maker. It's our very cheap $20 course. What if I told you you could get the edge for $20? Would you do it? I mean, even if I'm wrong, which I'm not, it's $20. 11 video lessons taught by me in our Get Hired digital course. So parents, grandparents, friends, family members, you got somebody who's really struggling to get hired, I'm going to give it to you for $20. The game plan, the game changer, the difference maker. It's called the Get Hired digital course. Tens of thousands of people have taken it and they're winning. It's only $20. You can watch it as many times as you need to. And I'm teaching you. So go get it. KenColeman.com. Click on the store and get the Get Hired digital course. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Kaylee is up in San Antonio, Texas. Kaylee, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So I'm kind of in a unique situation. I am looking for some direction because I'm a fourth-year teacher. I like what I do. It doesn't give me a, you know, super heavy passion, like, oh, I'm so excited to go to work every single day. But this year especially, I'm having a lot of difficulties because I am struggling from having had COVID. My health is a major concern, and being on campus is a major problem. So I'm actually at home right now working from home because I am experiencing symptoms again 6 months after having had, and I can't be on campus. So I'm running into the problem of my immune system is forever now affected by this. And I was already planning on leaving education last year. So I've got two major reasons to look other directions. But sometimes I feel like when I look other directions, I feel as if I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none, and I can't narrow my scope.
Okay. Well, that's why you called me, right?
It is.
Yeah. Well, let me first say that, you know, I don't know where you're at on the idea of signs, but I believe you got two major signs. I'm glad you've identified it that way, and it's time to move on. So good for you. So don't question that for a second. So what have you been wondering about the most? And what I mean by that is, give me some clues, or as specifically as you can. You've had 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 different ideas. When somebody says they feel like they're the jack of all trades, master of none, that means you've been thinking about some things. I want to know what are the things that you're most intrigued by that if I told you you couldn't fail, you'd go, ooh, I'd try this one first and then this one next and then this one next. So that's what's really true if you allow yourself to do that. So tell me what you can tell me.
Okay. So my initial, I guess if we'll call it my exit plan, I'm currently a science teacher and I wanted to transfer to journalism. Big passion of mine growing up, writing and editing. I'm the yearbook advisor at my current campus and I love that aspect, but it is 45 minutes of my day. You know, it's not my full day. So that was something I was looking at, you know, whether it was going to a high school and being a journalism teacher. I've been trying that for 3 years now. There's only one teacher per campus, so it's very hard to get in. So that's been a big challenge. That led me to, okay, let's look at online editing, online copy editing, and that poses the problem of contract work. I'm hesitant for contract work because I need steady health insurance, just given my history. I've also been introduced to the world of voiceovering. I know, totally different direction here.
No, it isn't. I'll explain that later. I'll explain that in a second.
So I really like voice acting. I really like voiceover. voice overing. Everything slowed, obviously, with the pandemic, and now projects are picking back up. But I'm, you know, that is something.
Have you done some of that?
I have. I've only done technical work. I am looking to try to get more creative work because I do have like different voices that
well,
I can do.
Well, but the good news is that what I love is that you're already in this. So I would call this a, regardless of the activity because of COVID, we have to throw everything out the window, right?
Yeah.
It's like the world's like greatest asterisk, you know what I mean? In the history of the world. But the fact that you're doing it, it's a successful side hustle that could grow easily. So that's great news. It's very interesting what you've given me here because there's a clear pattern in all of it. All of it is all of it relies on your verbal skills. And there's a little bit of and not a little bit, a good amount of creativity. So I would say your creative skills and your verbal skills are clearly the thread in all three of those. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
There's no question.
I have two heavy sides to my brain. I'm very analytical with numbers and patterns, and I'm very, when it comes to creativity, I need to not have restrictions.
Yep. I would also tell you that your analytical skills, where you've seen it pop up the most, is in numbers and patterns. I would tell you in this space of journalism or copywriting, editing, or voice acting, that would be pattern analyzing patterns, the ability to analyze copy and go, it needs to be said this way or analyze what the client wants. See, that's still analysis. So I think that's all, again, very good. So here's the deal. Because of the healthcare situation, I don't think, I'm going to take a wild guess here. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you why. Because of my position on the radio, if I say something, it'll have a heavier weight on you. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to tell me of those three things. Forget healthcare, forget all that. So assume that's all taken care of. Money's not an issue, healthcare's not an issue. Wild success. But you have to pick one of those three. And forget contract work. Because you're assuming you can't get a full-time job with benefits doing copywriting and editing, and you're wrong if you assume that.
Yeah.
So which of the three would you choose?
I think I would start with copy editing and, you know, possibly move to script editing so that I can start doing voiceover work that I edited as well.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you said that.
Kind of double dip it.
Yeah, because the reason that's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to influence you. I didn't hear any juice about journalism. When you said journalism, all you said was
It used to be. When I was a kid, I was 16, my idol was Barbara Walters.
Exactly.
I wanted to be the next 60 Minutes producer, you know, like all that jazz. And
I get it.
Grew up and realized how shady media can be.
That's it. But here's where you came alive.
The editing aspect.
That's it. You came alive when you started talking about the 45 minutes of your day where you're doing that and you could hear your voice change.
Yeah.
It was so obvious to me. So I think what you have to start to do is get out of your head that the only way you can be a successful copywriter or editor is doing contract work. That's not true. We have full-time copywriters here at Ramsey Solutions. Full-time.
Okay.
They work with me. Every article at kencoleman.com, I worked with a full-time writer in our building. And we have great benefits. So you need to get out of your head that that's the only way you can do that. And I think you pursue copywriting and editing. I think maybe you do some online stuff while you're still teaching. Don't jump from teaching yet.
Yeah.
Don't jump yet. Get some experience, stack some more money in the bank. And I think the voiceover work stays on the side hustle until it gets to a point that it can pay your full-time bills. But I think you pursue the copywriting and editing online for a little while. Look for the full-time gig. Keep doing the voiceover work. That's what you're supposed to do. And great things are going to happen. Don't you dare quit. Go for it, Kaylee. You got this. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Folks, the unemployment rate has skyrocketed, and because of that, the job market is more competitive now than ever before. If you've been laid off or you're just looking for a change, it's important that you're taking advantage of every tool out there to help you stand out in the hiring process. That's why I'm so excited to announce that my Get Hired digital course is on sale now. This is an online course with over an hour worth of video lessons that will walk you through how to stand out from the competition in your job search. We'll talk resumes, cover letters, preparing for interviews, and so much more. Plus, you'll get immediate access to my resume, how to win the interview, and how to follow up after the interview, plus career clarity. All of these are our Get Hired guides. All you need is a computer, tablet, or phone to watch, and you'll have access to unlimited replays of each lesson. If you're going to be looking for a job, you must do everything in your power to prepare, and this course will help you do just that. Go to KenColeman.com to buy the Get Hired digital course today. That's KenColeman.com. Helping you get unstuck and then on purpose in your life and in your work. Connecting your personal mission to your professional vision. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hope you all are making progress. If you're listening to me right now, you're going, I'm not making progress, Ken. I'm stuck. I'm in concrete. I'm so stuck. It's next level. It's not mud. It's concrete. All right. I'll break out the old jackhammer of clarity, and we'll get that concrete off of you and get you stepping again. We will do it, I promise. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Every day, get people calling us going, Ken, I think we're going to change jobs. I think we're going to move. What do you think? I think that if you decide that you're taking a job and you're going to move, one of the most stressful things about the actual change is not the job itself, it's the actual relocation. That's why we have the Ramsey Relocation Guide from Ramsey Solutions. Everything in this guide will walk you through every step of the relocation, how to negotiate the relocation package from the company that you're taking the job with, how to sell your current home, how to find the right schools in your zip code, your new zip code, how to choose the right zip code, everything you could possibly imagine. All you got to do is text relocation to 33789. 33789, text the word relocation. It's free, by the way. Text relocation to 33789. Get the Ramsey Relocation Guide. You will thank me for that later. Trust me. And by the way, are you following me on Instagram? At Ken Coleman. Great content over there. Going to give you a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff in addition to all of the inspiration and practical information as well. Follow me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. All right, back to the phones we go. Houston, Texas, where Stephanie joins us. Stephanie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
I recently left a job that I really enjoyed, and my boss let me know that the door is open to come back. One of the reasons I left was because after 2.5 years, they wanted me to sign a non-compete that I thought was pretty aggressive. Mm-hmm. And so my question is a two-parter. What are your thoughts about going back to a job after quitting? And what's reasonable to agree to for a non-compete in my position? I've never had one, so I'm not really sure what is common and reasonable.
Well, that could be different things for different folks. I think we should focus on what scared you. There was something that you went, whoa, or maybe multiple things. What was so unnerving for you?
Well, I work remotely. It's just me and then my boss, and I do like copy writing for her, email writing, ghost writing for her blog, help develop digital products that we sell online. And so part of it was that after employment, I couldn't work anywhere online, either in this field or in another field for 2 years.
Okay.
And they're not
absurd.
They're not negotiating that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on that, I'll tell you the part that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the, you can't work in any other field. I understand the non-compete in her field, the area that she's mm-hmm. an expert in. Am I understanding this mm-hmm. correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that part of it, but I think when she basically was putting in there, you can't work online in any other field, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
I would just say,
look. Willing to budge on that, so I just was like, ooh.
She's still not willing to budge on it.
No.
Have you had the conversation about that one particular piece?
Yes. And she said maybe they would change it to 18 months, but this is a very part-time job. And the hard thing is I love it a whole bunch, but I could also go make this pretty easily,
easy.
I wanted to get another part-time job.
Easy.
So I just wasn't sure if, am I missing?
Nope.
Am I tempted to go back because I enjoyed it? But is this absurd to,
yes.
back and forth?
You're very good. You could co-host the Ken Coleman Show anytime you want. You just listed all the questions I was going to ask. That's why I kept going, yep.
Okay.
So the reason you want to go back is because you really enjoy the work.
Right.
But the reasons you don't want to take it, you're absolutely right about. Stupid. It's literally putting handcuffs on you. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Just ridiculous. You know what I would say? I'd take one more shot at it and go, hey, listen, I'm so bummed.
Mm-hmm.
I would come do this in a half second.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
I don't know what the future holds.
Right.
And this is a part-time gig anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand signing the non-compete. I understand your concern with me going to a competitor or somebody who's in the same space. I'll sign that one in a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's, by the way, if you feel that way. If you don't feel that way, be fine with it. But yeah, I would just take one more. If you're willing to do it with half of that non-compete being the case, then you can take one more parting shot because you got walkaway power.
Sure.
But I would tell you, your instincts are 100% correct. If you just want another part-time job where you're copywriting and editing and stuff like that, that works everywhere for you.
Okay.
It's not worth it.
It's hard because, we developed a friendship part too because it's a small business. So it's just hard. It's hard to fully shut the door, but
let me push you on this. Have you said what I told you to say? Have you said, look, my issue is not with the non-compete. My issue is that you're covering all future work online for 2 years, and that's too restrictive. That's actually harming my ability to make additional money. I understand the competition piece, but in the non-competitive area, that's my only beef. Do you understand why I'm not willing to sign that? Have you had that conversation?
I did, and her reasoning was kind of more that she helped train me, she helped develop my writing skills.
Oh, so she gets to own you for 2 years. Oh, I get it. Okay, that makes total sense.
Right.
What a disaster this woman is.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
She's crazy.
Okay.
She said she trained you, so therefore she's holding you hostage for 2 years. This is a deterrent to keep working for her forever. She's selfish.
Right. Okay.
She's nuts.
Okay.
That's what she is.
Okay.
Tell her she never mind. I wouldn't even bring it back up.
Okay. So
now that I heard,
leave it.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you something. This is borderline narcissism, is what this is.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you're friends, and I'm not trying to be so harsh, but I get to be harsh because A, I don't know who she is, and B, I'm not saying her name, so I can be a slight bit more intense on this, but no, this really bothers me.
Okay. It did me too, but I feel like I just needed confirmation.
No, you're sharp. You're sharp,
right.
Stephanie. You're on top of it. Way to go. Yeah, tell her sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I think there's a song out there on that. I don't know. Madison would know. I don't know all these kids. Isn't there a song, Sorry, Not Sorry? Is it Demi Lovato? Oh, very good. I hate making a reference to something like that, which I feel is out there, but I don't know. And thank you, Madison, for coming through. There's your theme song, Stephanie. Turn up little Demi Lovato, Sorry, Not Sorry, and move on. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's see. I tell you what, we're going to hold off. I don't want to get into the break with Tim. So, Tim, I see you. We're going to come back to you in just a minute. So hang on. Hey, I want to talk to you about something that I mentioned. There's a lot of you right now. I'm seeing this on social media a lot. And just a little nugget. Everybody's so afraid of rejection. That's why most of us don't actually step out. And even if it's a little step, even if it's I just want to kind of qualify myself. I'm afraid of getting rejected. And here's the deal. You're not alone. The fear of rejection is one of the greatest fears that human beings will ever face. Because here's what we hear when we hear no. What we actually hear is, I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm a little loony for even trying this. That's what really happens. And what you have to do is understand that every accomplished woman, every accomplished man has actually figured out a way to look at rejection, filter what they need to learn from that no, and then say, all right, that means not now, not yet, not here, and I'm going to keep moving forward. But if you start building a muscle for rejection, you'll get through it faster. You'll be stronger on the other side. And the most important point is you won't be afraid to take the step you know you need to take. Don't go anywhere. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Welcome back. You are joining a conversation about you, what you were created to do here on the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you live from our Ramsey Studios in Nashville. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Owensboro, Kentucky, where Megan is on the line. Megan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. I'm excited to speak with you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. What's up?
Cool. Yeah, I just wanted to get your advice on sort of a high-level question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm just bored with work and need to refocus my energy and goals on other parts of my life, or if I should actually switch jobs. I hear you talk about passion and everything all the time, and I don't really feel that.
Yeah.
But my job is good, and it's fine, but I don't feel passionate about it. So I just wanted to speak with you and get your advice.
Yeah, well, you know, we need to figure out why you don't feel passion. And so the question becomes, mm-hmm. is the answer to that an issue of solely you, meaning you just haven't really come to the full realization that it's not in your sweet spot? You're not using mm-hmm. what you do best to do work you love, to produce a result that matters to you. It could be that you're just bored and that the solution is a bigger challenge within that company,
okay.
but that it might not exist. So, before we decide whether or not you leave or what, you know, we need to figure out why there's no juice. So the question becomes, was there ever a lot of juice for what you're doing?
Yes. Yes, there was.
So what changed?
I'm 32. And I feel like I'm at the point where now there's really nowhere else to go as far as money or title is concerned. And I just feel like I'm too young to already feel like I'm at like maxed out, you know, the way the company's structured. I just don't really see.
So you've hit your lid at this current company.
That's how it feels. Yeah.
Well, but we need to know if that's a feeling or if that's a fact. So to the extent that you don't know, go find out. Is there a step or two above the rung you're on? That's the question. Or are you at the top mm-hmm. of your ladder? So I don't know that you know that for sure, so go find that out. Once you find that out, if there is another rung or two on the ladder, you have to ask yourself, is that one I want to climb? Do I want to go there?
All right.
And so once we find that out, if the answer is no, I don't want to do that, then yeah, we are. It's time to switch. It's time to look elsewhere. Because on some level, where you're at right now, you just need you've mastered it in some ways. There's no challenge for you. You need progress. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very natural to feel what you're feeling. You're 32. You go, I'm not done. I want to grow. Right?
Yes, that's true.
What's your certainty level?
Like
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like up until now, I've had a pretty clear trajectory of my life, you
uh-huh.
know, finish school,
yep.
get married, buy a house, get a good job. And now it's like, well, what's the next thing? And I'm not sure if I'm projecting that. I haven't been sure if I was projecting that on my job and feeling like, well, I need to, you know, keep growing, or maybe I need to do something else.
Are you projecting that on your job? Is there an area of your life?
No, I mean, unless there's some major reorganization or some kind of big acquisition or something, I really don't think there's anywhere else to go from here.
All right. Well, then, so it sounds like you are more certain than you presented to me. So you're 98, 99% certain that there's not another rung up the ladder?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's just the way you presented it to me. So, you know,
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No. Don't be sorry.
I mean, unless there's some big, you know, reorganization.
Yeah. 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 I think it's time.
Seems unlikely.
You know what you're having? Yeah. You've heard of midlife crisis? You're having you know what you're having? A challenge crisis. That's all. It's a challenge crisis. You're not challenged. Fair. And listen, being bored is one of the five causes of buildup that I talk about. I don't believe in a thing called burnout. Like, burnout's not a thing. Burnout's a symptom. It's like, burnout's not a cause. You go, oh, I'm burned out. No, you're not. You're alive. So you're not burned out. You're burned out when you're dead.
Right.
You are bored, and bored is one of the five causes of buildup on the heart. And when you come in day after day and there's no challenge, it just builds up like plaque on the heart, right? And you just can't feel your heart anymore. There's no juice because you're bored. So you have to challenge yourself and say, if I could create my own ladder based on where I am now and what I've done, because I used to have the juice for this job, what would be the next step? Go find that out in the marketplace because it exists, and then go do it. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Shining the light on your path to purpose. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, coming to you live from our Ramsey Studios in Nashville. Hope you are having a great day. Thank you for lending us your ears. This show is about you and what you were created to do through your work. That's the purpose we're going to talk about. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. That means you were needed. That means you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you, the best version of you. And I want to be your coach, your guide, your cheerleader, your counselor, whatever you need. You're one phone call away, 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri. Tim joins us there. Tim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you, buddy?
Tim, I am living the dream, man. What's going on?
All right. So I am looking at, I've been in business for about a year, and I was wondering, so I've been a long-time listener to your program, so thank you for everything you do, and I've been trying to figure out how can I apply what you've been talking about on the radio with the proximity principle to my business to help my business grow to where it's not where I'm working all the... Right now, I'm working all the time. I'm trying to figure out how to get to where I can bring on some people to bring in some additional help and grow the company.
Okay. What is the business?
So I run a handyman company.
Okay. All right. And the goal would be to hire other handymen and you move more into the contractor role, meaning that you're the one kind of running the business, also maybe the face to the customer. Is that where you want this to go?
Yeah. So my goal is the next step is to transition into like where I'm just doing estimates and I go out and help and actually manage the business.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, great. How many jobs, and this may be harder to answer, but when I ask this, I'm thinking like an average job, because you've been doing this a year, so based on what you know, how many jobs, knowing, although this is my average, you know, price that I'm getting for the job, would you need to add for you to be able to, or need to essentially, hire another person who's doing most of the work and you're doing what you just described? How many more jobs, how much more revenue would you need?
So I don't know if it's more jobs. So in a sense, I believe that my biggest problem was I thought that I had everything under control. I had a guy start with me and I still have the same amount of work. It's just, I didn't have the retained earnings per se to do that. So to grow, I know I need to build
my retained earnings. So I had my emergency fund on the personal side for like baby step one. But I didn't think about doing pretty much the exact same thing on the business side. And that kind of hurt my cash flow. So learning process, I kind of hurt myself in that aspect. So I ended up having to let that guy go. And I guess that kind of discouraged me. And I was wondering...
Oh, so you let him go to save money so that you could actually put more money away.
So I can put more money away.
So you're saying you have plenty of work.
Yeah, I'm booked out about 8 weeks right now.
Well, but your question was, how do you use the proximity principle? And before I was going to answer that, I wanted to know how much more business you wanted. Because the proximity principle, whether it's a small businessman like you or an individual using the proximity principle, it's all about opportunity. So mm-hmm. the right people plus the right places equals opportunity. That's the formula.
Mm-hmm.
The proximity principle says in order to do what I want to do, I got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Okay. But for the business application, it's really the formula that when you're around the right people, you are going to benefit from them talking about you to other people. When you're in the right places where you run into people who actually need handyman services or see it, well, then you're going to have more opportunities, right? So that could be everything from a fall festival, and depending on where you live, you're not doing these things depending on the COVID restrictions, but you know, where a lot of families are gathering and they see your signage or they see your van and they see the right messaging, you know, that you could get from my good pal Don Miller, you know, with Story Brand, you know, whatever. So that's part of it, is getting in the right places where people hear about you, they see what you have to offer. But I don't think that's your thing. It sounds to me like you have plenty of work. You just didn't save enough money. And until you save enough money, I don't know if you need more work. So that's where I'm a little bit, I don't want to say confused, but your question doesn't match up with what your need is, because you're telling me your need isn't more business.
So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely booked out. 8 weeks, I think if I could, I think if I can secure some more work, that, I mean, ultimately I'll get there. Not really.
Well, that's my point. Now you and I are on the same page. You threw me for a second. You still need more work. You need more work so that you can bring on another person. Mm-hmm. And with you doing a lot of the work in the short term for you, and then you bring it on another person, that's more profit, which means it gets your retained earnings where you want it to be.
Okay.
Quicker. Then you back off. But you need more clients right now to grow that business.
Correct.
Because so the way you do this, the way you use the proximity principle is, who are the people in your community that you need to be around? Where you're talking to them, they've got the right platform in Kansas City, they got the right relationships in that area, and they're talking you up. You know, do you need to buy a sponsorship on one of the local talk shows? You know? I'm thinking about KCMO. You know, I'm thinking about my guy Pete, the morning show. You know who Pete is, right?
So,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to look him up.
But you need to look up. So my point is like, what if you sponsored a segment on one of their daily shows, their local shows, and you were the handyman guy that answered questions for people or gave tips? Mm-hmm. That's proximity. That's a form of proximity. That gets you in front of a lot of ears. And you're giving them valuable information, but then they're also thinking of you the next time they've got something in their house that's beyond their pay grade. Well, I'm going to trust this guy. Pete Mundo, trust him. Pete's the morning show guy, politics. Got a great show. He's a good guy. Tell him I said hi. The point is that you need to also go, all right, when we start looking at the home improvement stores and things like that, would they be willing for me to do a workshop of something where, again, they're going to sell a bunch of stuff? You know, I don't know what you need to do, but you do. And you need to get around families that are good families, well-known families. Do work for them. Then they start talking about you. You know, neighborhoods, good neighborhood associations where you can do some stuff for them. And maybe you lend a little bit of your time and in return, they promote you in their neighborhood newsletter. These are the type of things. Getting around the right people in the right places. Don't overthink it. Just go where the people who would need you are hanging out. And that's the idea, is to always apply people and places to your situation, folks. This isn't just for Tim. Who are the right people? You know who they are. Well, Ken, I don't know their name. You're thinking too hard. I don't mean their names. I mean, describe the people, the kind of people that you need to be around so that you get opportunity in your business or in your career. All right, now let's go. Where are the places that those people are hanging out? What are some places that I need to just start bouncing into people, rubbing shoulders? Places. Because guess what? In the right places, you find the right people. When you're hanging around the right people, they tell you about the right places. Or better yet, they invite you or they introduce you. And it becomes a cycle of intentionality. The right people, the right places. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And when I am where I'm supposed to be, and I focus all my effort on being around the right people and in the right places, guess what happens? The right time shows up. Always. It's not the other way around. The right time shows up when we are in the right places and around the right people. My time is almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.